Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, we're going to finish this chapter and go on into chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 23, Mark chapter 2, verse 23, and read through Mark chapter 3, verse 6. I wrestled a little harder this week over the message today. The passage that we're talking about today speaks about the Lord's Day and how we observe the Sabbath day. And I know that many of us hold many strong convictions or have very strong feelings about this. And so I wrestled with how to do this well and glorify God in it. And so as we approach this subject, let's come humbly to God's Word to see how we can be instructed as to how to approach the Lord's Day. So we'll read the Word of God from Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through chapter 3, verse 6. This is the infallible Word of God. Listen to it. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which was lawful only for the priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked them, 'Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus." May God bless the reading of his eternal word. A few years ago, one Saturday morning, I was jogging with a friend up at Moraine State Park. And we met a guy there who had been jogging already that day for 6 hours. He was training to run an ultra race. An ultra race is a race that's anywhere from 35 miles long to 100 miles long. And this guy had just run a race that was 70 miles long. He just run or walked for 22 hours straight. And because the ultra races are so long and grueling, the runners need help along the way. So every 10 miles or so in these races, there's what they call aid stations. At these aid stations, the runners can refill their water bottles, they can get food to eat, they can change their socks, they get medical attention if they need it, and they can rest a little bit. These aid stations are built into the races so that the runners can run this race well, so that they're re-energized, so that they can finish this race. An aid station was not just another obstacle for these runners to go through or to endure, but they were there to help the runners, to revive them, to help them run this race. Well, life is a long, hard race, and it takes endurance and strength. It has hard uphill climbs. Sometimes you're ready to give up mentally or spiritually or socially or physically. Some weeks you just don't know how you're going to get through. But God gives us grace and strength. And one of the key ways that he gives us grace and strength is by scheduling in a regular weekly aid station. An aid station where we are revived and rested and refocused. And this aid station is the Lord's Day. Sadly, most Christians, to their own harm, neglect this aid station. We pass it by as if it didn't even exist. We treat the Lord's Day like another Saturday. We squeeze church in at some point, but the rest of the day is up to us to use. It's at our disposal. We can use however we see fit. Well, God has given you the great and gracious gift of the Lord's Day. It was made for you, to revive you, and to help you through this long marathon of life. How are you using it? What are you doing with this day? What are you doing with this gift that God has given to you? Are you using it the way God intended? Don't pass it by. Don't neglect it. It's not a burden. It's not some burden that He placed on your shoulders, but it's a gift. Take pleasure in it. Relish it. Call the day a delight. It is a gift from God to you. Use it as He intended. In this section of the Gospel, Mark has collected five stories where conflict arises between Jesus and the Pharisees. And these two stories that we're covering today are the last two of this collection of five stories. And the conflict arises over the observance of the Sabbath day. And the purpose of these stories is to rethink how the Sabbath day is to be observed. So let's look at these stories, what happens in these stories. Jesus and his disciples were walking along together on a Sabbath day. They might have been headed home from the synagogue after worship. And on their way, they passed through a grain field. And the grain field was ripe and ready to be harvested, and the disciples were hungry. So they picked some of the heads of grain and ate them. Well, at this point now, the Pharisees had grown in their contempt for Jesus, and they were looking for ways to accuse him, and some of the Pharisees saw what the disciples had done. They picked grain from the fields, and they ate it. Well, immediately, and I imagine a bit triumphantly and self-righteously, they went to Jesus and said, Look at what your disciples are doing. What they are doing is unlawful on the Sabbath day. According to the laws of the Pharisees, what the disciples had just done had desecrated the Sabbath. According to their laws, the disciples had just sinned against the Lord. Well, today, as we look at this story, we're quick to accuse the Pharisees of being legalistic. And without a doubt, they are being legalistic. They created more laws than what the Bible had given. But before we attack the Pharisees, let's see how that view came to be. Let's see how they came to see the view the Sabbath with such an extreme view. I'm sure that most, if not all, of the Jews at this time would agree that the biggest disaster in the history of Israel was when the Babylonians came in and destroyed Jerusalem. They demolished the temple. They knocked over the walls. They burned the city. The Jews were exiled from the promised land. The biggest disaster in the history of Israel. Well, repeatedly throughout the Old Testament, the exile in part was attributed to the fact that the people of God desecrated the Sabbath day. They ignored the Sabbath day. In the book of Nehemiah, the nobles carried on business on the Sabbath day. Nehemiah rebuked them and essentially said, God destroyed this city because we desecrated the Sabbath day. Why are you going to stir up his wrath again? Or in Jeremiah, God warned the people, if you do not observe my Sabbaths, then I will ignite an unquenchable fire inside the gates of Jerusalem. And that's what he did. In 2 Chronicles, it says that God exiled his people so that the land would once again enjoy its Sabbath rest. God exiled his people in part because they did not observe the Sabbath day. So the Sabbath was a big deal. It was very important for the people of Israel. But how did the Pharisees arrive at the conclusion that picking a few heads of grain and eating them on the Sabbath was a desecration of the holy day? Well, here's what happened. The Pharisees took the commands of God, and under each command, they tried to define exactly how that command was to be kept. The law of God says that on the Sabbath day, you're not to do any work. Well, what is considered work? The disciples picked grain and ate it, and according to the Pharisees, to the laws of the Pharisees, this qualified as harvesting. The disciples had just harvested, and that qualifies as work. And there are lots of rules like this. In fact, the Pharisees were so scrupulous about the Sabbath day that they came up with 39 principles, rules for keeping the Sabbath day. And under each principle, they split up into six categories of rules, all of which were forbidden on the Sabbath day. So according to these rules, the disciples broke the Sabbath. Jesus responded to the Pharisees' complaint, and he said, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need. In the day of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which was lawful only for the priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Jesus was referring to a story in 1 Samuel when David was fleeing from King Saul, fleeing for his life. Saul had already been rejected by God as king, and David had already been chosen by God's anointed, by God as his anointed king. So David and his men fled to the city of Nob, and the house of God was there along with the Ark of the Covenant, and the priests were there. And David and his men were on the run, and they were hungry. They needed food. Well, the only food that the priests had ready to eat was the showbread that had just been taken out of the house of God. But these 12 loaves of bread, by God's command, were only to be eaten by the priests. No one else was supposed to eat this bread. But in such a time of need, the priests gave the bread to David and his companions, and they ate. Technically, they broke the command of God. But it was completely appropriate because of the situation. Why did Jesus reference this story? Why did he refer back to this story in 1 Samuel? Well, the point that he's making is this. Within the law of God, there is flexibility. Flexibility that adjusts to the needs of his people. Behind the letter of the law is the spirit of the law, which directs us in how we are to obey the law. Flexibility, I have to admit, is hard for me. I like it when things are black and white, right or wrong. I don't like the controversial gray areas that comes with flexibility, when it's hard to determine what exactly is right or wrong. But this is the way God made the law. The Pharisees didn't like the gray areas of either. They wanted everything to be black and white. And so they added so many rules that every action, no matter the circumstances, could be determined right or wrong according to the law. They allowed for no flexibility. But Jesus taught that within the law of God, there is flexibility and it adjusts to the needs of the people. Well, Jesus continued. He said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath day was not just a loop, a hoop that they had to jump through. The Sabbath was an aid station. It was a help. It was something that God gave to meet the needs of his people. It is a gracious gift. But the Pharisees took it and turned it into this oppressive burden. The Pharisees saw the Sabbath day as a sort of obstacle course, a challenge, an obstacle challenge that separated the men from the boys. Only the pious could actually observe the Sabbath day. Only the pious could carry such a burden and get through the day without desecrating it. But Jesus saw that Sabbath day, with all its laws, as a gracious gift from God. A gracious gift that God gave to meet the needs of his people. It was an aid station. Jesus was liberating the Sabbath from all those man-made rules so that it would once again be enjoyed as a gift from God. Jesus closed the debate and he said, "So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." Jesus was pointing to his authority. I am the Lord. I instituted this day right after I created the world. And now I'm explaining to you how I intended for it to be used. It is a gift to my people to meet their needs. The Sabbath was made for man. This controversy continues on. It extends into the next story, the last story in this group of five controversial stories. Another Sabbath day came, and Jesus went into the synagogue, and inside there was a man with a shriveled hand. And the Pharisees continued to grow in their contempt for Jesus. They were looking for a way to accuse Jesus. And they were watching Jesus closely to see if Jesus would heal this man on the Sabbath. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, used this situation to reinforce the idea that the Sabbath was made for man. Jesus had this man stand up in front of the whole congregation. And he posed the question to the whole congregation, particularly aimed at the Pharisees. And he said, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" No one dared answer. And Jesus became angered because he knew the stubbornness of the hearts of the Pharisees. They were so concerned about their man-made laws that they lost sight of the whole purpose of the Sabbath. They were more concerned about making sure that they didn't do anything that qualified as work than they were about showing mercy to a man who had a shriveled hand. So Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and he was healed. The Sabbath day is a gift to meet our needs and to revive us. But it's also a day that we can meet the needs of others, to make sure that they are rested and revived as well. It's a day to show mercy and kindness to others, to make sure that this day is an aid station for them as well as it is for us. The Sabbath day is a gracious gift given to us by God. He knows our needs better than we do. He knows that we need this aid station as we run this race. We need to be revived and refocused. And through mercy, we should also see to it that others have the opportunity to rest and to be revived as well. God didn't give this to us as an option. He gave this to us as a command, a loving command, a gracious command to use this holy day every week as a day of rest and restoration, be revived. So I ask you, how are you using this holy day? How are you using this day? How ought we to use this day? Among Christians today, you'll find a wide variety of opinions on how we are to observe the Lord's Day. In our congregation here, among us, there are a wide variety of opinions. And throughout church history, there have been a wide variety of opinions. And generally, our view of the Lord's Day swings like a pendulum from one extreme to another. On one side of the spectrum, the Sabbath day is completely ignored. The Sabbath day is treated just like another Saturday. It doesn't matter what I do on the Lord's Day. I could take a nap or read the Bible if I want to, but I could also go to work or I could play in a Sunday soccer league. It doesn't really matter. It's not special. This is really what the Israelites were accused of in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 58, it says that they treated the Sabbath however they wanted, and they did as they pleased. And God rebuked them. On the other side, the other extreme, is the Pharisaical view of the Lord's Day. The pendulum swung down from this extreme past the appropriate view of the Sabbath, and it swung back up to another extreme, legalism. And this extreme makes a list of every action and tries to deem whether it is right or wrong. It tries to make everything black and white so that there is no more controversy in observing the Sabbath day. This is what Jesus spoke out against. These two extremes, we have to fight against these things, and maybe these two extremes exist here. Joseph Piper, in his book The Lord's Day, gives a good illustration of what happens in these two extremes. God gave us this great gift, this day, to enjoy. The Lord's Day he gave us to enjoy. And he made it especially for us. It was like a beautiful garden with a creek and flowers blooming, tall trees, the grass was green. It was a beautiful park. It was a solace in the midst of a troubled world. But God's people neglected this gracious gift, and they did whatever they wanted on God's holy day. They came in with bulldozers. They cut down the trees. They completely destroyed this park. They turned it into a mud pit. It was no longer a solace in the midst of a troubled world. They destroyed the Sabbath day. Well, the next generation wanted to restore this great gift, so they came in and they replanted the flowers and the grass and the trees. They kept the bulldozers out. And once again, it was restored as a great place, a place where we could seek refuge from this world. But then, after all that work, they were afraid that someone might come in and mess it up again. So they put a fence around the whole park so that no one could go in and mess anything up. And once again, it was no longer a solace in the midst of a troubled world. This is what the Pharisees did with their hundreds of laws about the Sabbath day. They destroyed the Sabbath. Both extremes destroy the Sabbath. Both extremes exist today. But we need to work to keep this park beautiful, to keep this open, to keep it as a great gift from God, where people can find rest and be revived and refocused. So how can we keep the Lord's Day? How can you keep the Lord's Day so that it is a solace in the midst of a troubled world? How can we keep the Lord's Day and call it a delight and take pleasure in it? Some of you may be thinking, oh, you know, it's not really that big of a deal. This isn't a question that I'm going to wrestle with. It's not up there on my list of priorities to do. Well, God placed it as the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. If we're willing to throw this command out and not consider it to be important, then we might as well throw out the others with it. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not bow down to idols. We can throw those out as well. God considered the Lord's Day to be so important that He put it in the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. It needs to be important to you. Consider it. So I challenge you to rethink how you are to keep the Sabbath day. How can you use this day better to take advantage of this great and gracious gift that God has given to you? How can you use it as an aid station, as a solace in the midst of this broken world? As you think this through, I want you to keep some biblical principles in mind. Four biblical principles. First, do not work, but rest. This is a gracious command that God has given to us. Do not work, but rest. The word Sabbath in Hebrew means rest. And the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. If this day is going to be a solace for you, or if you're going to actually use this as a great gift from God, then rest from your labor. Yes, there are some jobs that need to be done on the Lord's Day, like doctors and nurses and policemen. People have to respond to emergencies, yes. But you need to ask yourself, is your job necessary on the Lord's Day? Is it necessary? Well, what if your boss requires you to work on the Lord's Day, and if you don't work, you lose your job? If this is your situation, and you've been given a great opportunity, an opportunity to testify to the kingship of Jesus Christ, show your boss and your co-workers and the world around you that Christ is king. You're called to serve Him. He's your priority. Don't let your boss take this gracious gift away from you. Don't allow him to pluck it out of your hands. God gave you this gift. Don't be quick to give it up. What about housework or yard work? Should these things take up your time on the Lord's Day? You college students, make a decision not to do your schoolwork on the Lord's Day. Rest from that. You will enjoy that. You will call the Lord's Day a delight. You will be refreshed. Enjoy this day. So that's the first thing. Rest on the Lord's Day. Second, don't seek your own pleasure, but seek God. Isaiah 58 says this, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's Day honorable, if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please, then you will find your joy in the Lord. This one's a hard one for us. The Lord's Day has often turned into a day of recreation. We play on our sports teams, we go watch games, we watch TV, we read books, we play music, we enjoy doing these things, and this is what we want to do. Has the day simply become a day for you to do what you want to do? Don't just do as you please. Instead, seek God. Take this time to seek God. This is a day that we can be in God's house. We get to meet with Him in a special way. God is with us now in a special way. Don't trade this for a football game or whatever you want. Seeking the face of God doesn't mean that you have to be reading the Bible or praying throughout the whole day. It's good to take some extended time to do this, but you can enjoy the presence of God by being in the presence of others, or by being with unbelievers, by being with family. Enjoy His creation. You can enjoy Him that way. Go for a walk or drive. Go to the park for a picnic. Enjoy the presence of God. Do this, and you will find your joy and pleasure in the Lord. So the third thing. So make sure that it is a day of rest for others. Do your best to make it so that other people don't have to work on the Lord's Day. It ought to be our desire that everyone can use this day as a solace from the broken world, as a day of rest and recovery, a day of revival. Are you part of the reason why businesses or restaurants stay open on Sundays? Restaurants are busiest on Sundays because we Christians go out to eat. We have turned the day of rest into their busiest day, the day that they cannot absolutely rest. They absolutely cannot rest on that day because of us. In the book of Nehemiah, the people of God promised to never buy anything from merchants on the Sabbath. Why? Because they thought it was their responsibility to encourage everyone to observe the Lord's day. Do you consider that your responsibility? Do we encourage others to observe the Lord's day? And in line with this principle, we also ought to look for other ways or acts of mercy that we can do for others. Remember, Jesus used the Lord's day to heal the man with the withered hand. This was a special act of mercy that he did on the Lord's day. How can you serve others? Take this day to serve others. Make it so that they can enjoy this day in a special way. Maybe make a meal for someone or take the kids of a stressed out mother for an hour that day. Husbands, what can you do to see that your wife gets rest from her work on the Lord's day? How can you show mercy so that the Lord's day is a day of rest and renewal for others as well? Now we come to the last principle. The last principle is this: discuss with one another how to best use the Lord's day. It didn't take me long here at College Hill to realize that there are some subjects, some topics that are really not open for discussion. The observance of the Lord's Day might be one of them. It's almost taboo to talk about this with anyone, about these issues, because we hold a variety of opinions on these things. And someone's going to get offended. And you know why this is the case? You know why we can't talk about it? It's because we're proud. Were proud and stubborn. The Pharisees hated Jesus because he was telling them that their view of the Sabbath was wrong. They were stubborn. They didn't want to change. They knew they were right. They didn't want anyone else telling them what to do. And I'm afraid that oftentimes I am just as stubborn. We need to be humble. We need to talk about these things. We need to bounce ideas off of one another. We need to sharpen one another. But it takes humility. We need to humbly share how we observe the Lord's day, what works for us. And then we need to humbly listen to how others observe the Lord's day. And then humbly ask ourselves, what can I learn? What can I learn from my brother? Now, we won't all agree on everything, but together we should strive to make this day a God-honoring delight. But that's going to take humility and willingness to change, to line yourself up with the Word of God. At some point over the next week, or the next 2 weeks, some point soon, take a moment and ask someone how they use the Lord's Day. Say something like this: I'm wrestling with the Lord's Day and what it means. What do you do? How do you keep this day holy? How do you enjoy this day? Ask someone who has a different opinion with you than you and discuss it. And be humble enough to admit that you're being legalistic or that you're not observing the day as you ought. Be humble. The Lord has given us a great and gracious gift. He's given you a weekly aid station in the midst of this hard life. This is a gift. He has commanded us to observe this gift. You need this day. You need it. We all need it. Right now, the church is ready to give it up altogether. We are ready to give up this gift and pursue our own pleasures, to do our own work. And we are ready to do away with that beautiful garden that God has given to us. We're ready to sell it for what the world has to offer. Back in the 1600s, the Algonquin Indians sold what is now known as Manhattan Island to European explorers for $24 worth of trinkets and beads. That island now, as you know, is worth billions. The Indians didn't realize that the island was going to be worth so much, so they sold it for so little. And I'm afraid that is what we're doing with the Sabbath day. The church today is ready to do away with the Lord's Day. We're ready to sell this great and gracious gift for a few beads and trinkets that the world has to offer. Because we don't realize how valuable and how precious this day is for us. We need this regular aid station where our needs are met. We need a solace from this harsh world that surrounds us. We need the Lord's Day. God has given you this day to be rested and to be revived, to be refocused on Him. The Sabbath was made for you. Don't give it up so easily, but use it. Use it for all it's worth. It's a gift from God directly to you. Use it for all it's worth. Let's pray. Gracious God, we wrestle with your commands. We wrestle to see how we can use this day the best that we can. Father, forgive us when we have desecrated your day by either setting up a fence around it with our own laws or by not observing the day at all and doing whatever we please. Father, we recognize that both of these things are sin and a misuse of this great gift that you've given to us. Please show us, convict us, show us how we can use this day so that we can glorify you through this life, so that we can be refreshed and revived as we serve you, as we run this long race of life. Father, let your name be glorified as a result. Let the world see our loyalty to you, and let them praise your name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your psalters and turn to Psalm 23b. 23b. Classic. It says, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by." It's a picture of that garden, that place where we find refuge and revival and rest. That's where God leads us. And this is not something that we're supposed to give up easily, but it's something that we should cherish and enjoy and love. So let's stand and sing Psalm 23b.
Thank you.
Psalm 57b. 57b, we'll sing the last two stanzas, stanzas 9 and 10, after the commission and benediction. The commission is very simple. It's the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. People of God, receive God's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen.